Stocks fell sharply, the latest data indicating anemic economic growth. The Dow was down 138 to 14,700. The S&P fell 14. NASDAQ was off 29. This is NPR. Syria's President Bashar Assad made a rare public appearance at a Damascus power station today and expressed the hope that the civil war will be over within a year. Footage of the visit was broadcast on Syrian state television, showing Assad chatting casually with a group of employees and telling them, quote, "We hope that by this time next year we will have overcome the crisis in our country." The images showed the Syrian leader wearing a dark business suit and addressing the power station's staff, later shaking their hands. Meanwhile, two bombs exploded near the city center in Damascus, killing one person and wounding two dozen others. Another U.S. agency has been expelled from Bolivia. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro reports President Evo Morales is kicking out the U.S. Agency for International Development.
Morales didn't say exactly what USAID had done to merit the expulsion, but he accuses the agency of trying to undermine his leftist government. In the past, he said it funded groups that are in opposition to his policies, in particular an indigenous group that protested a planned highway through a rainforest area. In 2008, Morales expelled the U.S. ambassador and agents of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration for allegedly inciting the opposition. Morales's popularity has recently been slipping, and he has taken a number of actions which analysts say are aimed at bolstering his approval, including suing Chile in an international court for territory Bolivia lost over 100 years ago. Lourdes Garcia-Navarro, NPR News.
President Obama has signed into law a bill to end furloughs of air traffic controllers. The furloughs stemmed from the automatic across-the-board spending cuts that started taking effect in March. I'm Jamie McIntyre, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at hewlett.org.
Good afternoon. It's 3:35. This is Texas Public Radio News on KSTX. I'm Steve Short. The Texas Workers Alliance has filed a federal lawsuit to stop the district's activities that it says are in violation of the union members' First Amendment rights. Union attorney David Van Oss says the district on April 1st used police to stop a meeting at one of the bus facilities being conducted by union member Alma Benavides.
So we are asking the court to issue a temporary restraining order because the next employee organization day is May 6th, and Ms. Benavides is afraid to go there and try again because she's afraid that it'll jeopardize her job with the school district.
District officials say the union members were trying to hand out literature to drivers entering the bus facility, which caused a traffic hazard at the entrance. NISD says it had not yet received a copy of the lawsuit, but denied that it is using bullying tactics to stifle the union's activities. Forecast calls for a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 62. It'll be cloudy and windy on Thursday with temperatures falling into the 50s. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 84 degrees in San Antonio. I'm Steve Short. That's Texas Public Radio News on KSTX.
Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Today is May 1st, sometimes called May Day, the International Day of the Worker, and it's also a day when immigration reform marches happen across the nation. In San Antonio, there's a march for just immigration reform today, starting at 5:30 at Milam Park, headed to the Southwest Workers Union. And as the nation works on comprehensive immigration reform, we have to ask, what's wrong with the immigration system that we have today? If you went through the system, what do you think needs to change? Do you think it should be made more just, more efficient? Should we just toss it out and start over again? Or should we just seal our borders like some people want? Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. If you got a comment or a question for our guest, the number is 614-8980. Also email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And our guest this half hour, we have Sarah Gould. She's the head curator and researcher at the Institute of Texan Cultures. Marisol Perez, she's the immigration lawyer. And Harriet Romo, the director of the UTSA Mexico Center and professor of sociology. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Sarah, today I went over and I saw your exhibit at the Institute of Texts and Cultures, the giant board game where people will roll the dice, pretty much, spin the wheel, and figure out whether or not this character that they've adopted, this avatar, could get through the immigration system and make their way to become legalized residency and or citizenship. So how hard is that for a person to achieve? Is it like a board game? Is it like chutes and ladders with a little bit of sorry because you mess up, you got to start at the very beginning again? Or is it certainly no trivial pursuit?
No, the exhibit, Why We Came, The Immigration Experience, is designed like a board game in order to get people immersed in the experience of immigration. However, it's based on real life stories. So I interviewed 13 different people, and actually it was 16 people, 13 interviews. Three of them were with married couples, all of them immigrants, what we're calling new Texans.
And they're from all over the world.
They're from all over the world. Nigeria, China, India, Lebanon, Iran, Vietnam, Cambodia, Democratic Republic of Congo. And their stories are different in terms of why they came and in terms of what the process of getting here was like. But their stories are similar in that a lot of them have similarities in terms of what was either pushing or pulling them to the United States and out of their home country. So they came.
So when you say pushing or pulling, like there are forces, like if you're in a country where there's some sort of repression going on, if you're being oppressed or your family's being killed for whatever reason, you're a refugee, you're being pushed out of your country.
Exactly.
A pulling factor would be like you want democracy, you want economic opportunity, things like that.
Exactly. Political instability, war, those are big push factors that push you out of your home country. Whether you really want to leave or not, you often don't have an option. Job opportunities, educational opportunities, family who are already in the United States, those are big pull factors.
Okay, and so in this game, we see that an arbitrary type of thing could just knock you out and push you into the shadows. If you don't move to the next square, you just don't vanish. You have to exist in off the board.
Well, what happens is at a certain point on the game board, you spin a wheel and you find out if you're taking a documented path, and so you have documentation to become an immigrant, or if you're going to take the undocumented path. And so the game board will explain to you once you get to that point, this is what happens when you are documented. You get processed through immigration or undocumented. You're now sort of, as you said, in the shadows. And it's a risky way of coming, but it's a situation in which some people feel they don't have another option.
Marisol Perez, okay. All right. Harriet Romo, go right ahead.
Yes. Because we're a university, we try to get people to think about issues and question things as they exist and pose problems and try to solve them. And more than just a game, that's what this exhibit is trying to do, to raise the issues that someone might confront as an immigrant, to raise the concerns that someone living here might have as a resident, to make people think about this whole process and what the debate is that's going on, what the issues are, and what some of the solutions might be. If they were in that case, how they would feel and how they might react in similar ways or different ways. So while it's a game board, it's not a game. It's really serious academic thought and thought-provoking and discussion and having people try to respond to how they feel as they go through this process.
Right, we hear the phrase all the time, get in back of the line. Like there's some sort of line. Like there's an office, you get in line, you stand in line, you get to the front of the line, file a piece of paper, and boom, you're done. There is no line. It's very complicated. Isn't that right, Marisol Perez?
Yes. I work for a full-service immigration law firm, DeMott McChesney, Curtwright & Admendares, and we see clients daily that face the struggles and the constructs of our immigration system. So, yes, when they say, you just need to come legally, you need to, go back to your country and apply for a visa, these are things that realistically we do not offer individuals that seek to come to the United States. And even for those that have some kind of legal mechanism, for many of those individuals, that legal mechanism is so remote. For example, if you're a resident alien petitioning for your adult child, if you're from Mexico under our current visa bulletin, you will be waiting 19 to 20 years before that adult child can join you in the United States. That is the system we're dealing with here. And that's only one example of many where our statutes, our immigration statutes, just cannot accommodate the individuals that either want to be here or who are already here now in the United States.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Ross wants to jump in on the conversation. Ross, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I guess I'd like to make a comment and kind of a question. There's a lot of wealth in Mexico, but it's kind of concentrated at the top. One of the ways I think it would be a good way to solve the immigration issue is to make the people want to stay in their own country. You're kind of, I guess, hold the Mexican government or the some accountable for the fact that there is a lot of money in Mexico. It's just concentrated in the hands of the few.
Okay, Ross, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. And see, Ross, he brings up a point, and this is a common point you hear. And, you know, but you look at the statistics now and you see that actually the immigration from Mexico is kind of at a zero level. So, and I saw testimony from the Border Patrol to the Congress a few weeks ago. He said that most of the immigrants coming into Texas crossing the illegally are from Guatemala. So it's not that easy. It's like, you know, so your board game sort of points that out, Sarah Gould.
We do mention that the net zero issue. So for the last few years, immigration from Mexico has been about the same as Mexican immigrants leaving the U.S. to go back to Mexico. That's why they call it net zero. And that has to do with the economy in Mexico has been picking up. So there are still some people who have a desire to come here, but there are some people who came here and now realize they have opportunities back home in Mexico and they're leaving.
And enforcement is also up. I know Dr. Romo can address kind of the sociological impact, but enforcement over the last several years, appropriations have been given for, you know, higher enforcement. There have been more deaths on the border. There's a less desire to kind of confront some of those obstacles. And then that coupled with the fact that we do have a great population already in the United States that will simply not return like they attempted to do before. Mm-hmm. Before they would try to come in back, come and go back, and they would not now.
So Harriet Romer, real quick.
Yes, the Mexican economy has been doing even better than the U.S. economy. And the former President Calderon was here in San Antonio speaking about his initiatives during his presidency about starting new universities, giving more educational opportunities.
Well, the GDP growth in Mexico is doing better than the U.S. GDP.
Yes.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. If you've got a question or comment about the immigration system in the United States, please give us a call. The number is 614-8980. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. It's 3:45. I'm Steve Short. There is a report of an accident on the west side on southbound Highway 151 at Military Drive West. Also watch out for a collision reported on northbound Loop 1604 at Braun Road. And an accident's been reported on the northeast side on northbound I-35 at Thousand Oaks. There's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 62. It'll be cloudy and windy on Thursday with temperatures falling into the 50s. Currently it's 84 degrees in San Antonio.
CPS Energy Savers is offering free and low-cost energy audits to show customers how they can make energy efficiency improvements to their homes. The program also offers rebates and incentives to make energy efficiency upgrades available to a wide range of customers. More information is available at cpsenergysavers.com. This nonprofit message was underwritten by the Office of Sustainability at the City of San Antonio.
This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about immigration reform. What do you think needs to change with our immigration system? Our guest this half hour, Sarah Gould. She's with the Institute of Texan Cultures. Marisol Perez, immigration lawyer. Harriet Romo, director of the UTSA Mexico Center and professor of sociology. Let's go to the phones. Salvador's been waiting. Salvador, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me. I have a comment. I'm one of the persons that benefited on the immigration reform back in the 80s, and I've lived here in the U.S. for over 30 years. I'm torn. For one hand, I'm very happy that the immigration reform is going through, but on the other hand, I'm also concerned about some of the abuses of the people that, for example, come to the U.S. and never worked a day here in the U.S., and they automatically, by having a Social Security number, and a green card, they have access to all the benefits that really U.S. citizens have. So I was wondering if there are going to be any changes to that.
Okay. Hey, Salvador, thank you so much for your call. So Salvador is concerned. He went through the immigration process. He worked hard and benefited from Ronald Reagan's amnesty program. Now he's concerned that other people are going to come through and get it easy. So, I mean, Harriet Romo, what do you think about that?
Well, I think Marisol can respond to the legal issues, but very few of these immigrants are eligible for social benefits for a long time. That's written into the immigration law. And so they also pay. A lot of sociological studies have shown that they pay in taxes, in rent, in sales taxes, maybe income taxes that they didn't get back for a long time, much more than they take out in terms of services like schools or health that they might take advantage of.
In 1996, we actually had some of the most stringent welfare reform laws that were created by our U.S. Congress and did limit even resident aliens from seeking certain public benefits. And there have been studies after studies showing that individuals who would otherwise even be eligible for these benefits do not seek to apply for these benefits. Even children who are citizens and their parents would be eligible to apply for those citizens' children, their benefits, they will not do that because they simply do not want to access the system. And I think that's what's great about this exhibit, because they address the myths. There are many myths that control individuals' perceptions about whether we need reform or not in this country. And I think that this exhibit does a fine job of informing people that they pay taxes, they don't access social services like it's portrayed, they put a lot of money in our Social Security system.
They start businesses, and they do so much.
All of those things. They put far more into the United States than they take out.
All right, well, more phone calls. Aaron has been waiting patiently. Aaron, you're on The Source.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me, guys. I had a question for the guests, actually. I've lived here. I was born here, actually, my whole life, but my family migrated over here from Mexico, and there was an amnesty that had passed that they didn't get the chance to take a part of. And I've had two brothers that have lived here practically their whole lives. They came here when they were one. And I just want to know, as an opinion from both guests, is what do you all think of the progress of the movement of Reformation, and do you think it will end up going into initiation this year, or will it be something that will just be pushed aside?
Okay, Aaron. All right, thank you for your call, Aaron. We appreciate that. So, you know, Marisol, you're an immigration attorney. What do you think the odds are on getting something passed?
I think as immigration lawyers and advocates for immigrants, I think that we have felt better now than we have in the past. And we've gone through this song and dance for many years. The last legalization program that we had that provided actual benefits to individuals that were here based on their time in the United States was in 1986. Since then, there have been many proposals. We came very close in 2005 and 2006, and, you know, that fell apart. And I think now we're confident that we'll have something, but I do think that work has to be done to convince both our House and Senate that this is something that the community both needs and desires. So I think it's incumbent. Certainly, there's a need for it. Certainly, we will have many individuals who will benefit. Both citizens of the United States will benefit from immigration reform as individuals who do not have status. But I think it's incumbent on us to act. You know, those of us that are voters, those of us that are constituents need to communicate with not just our own congresspersons and senators, but others to tell them that this is something that we cannot turn our back on and the time is now. And we believe that this will happen.
And certainly what turned the tide for immigration reform being serious in D.C. was the November election and the turnout for the Latino voters.
And I think that the turnout, I mean, really turned the tide. We were just having discussions before we came in that even the state legislatures, you know, the bills that were filed this year as compared to last legislative session dealing with immigrants have substantially decreased.
It's not as hostile.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, that's a good sign for everyone, not just the immigrants.
So Aaron tells a story about his two brothers. They're not here, have legal residency here. And he wants to know about, you know, what are the chances that they could get, you know, something through the immigration reform. But we see so many things in the immigration reform saying, well, if you broke the law, then you're not going to qualify, or you got to pay all these fines and fees. many, many people who are now not here legally are not going to qualify for this process. So, Dr. Roma, what do you think is going to happen to these people through a sociology point of view?
Well, it sounds like his brothers were dreamers, that they were brought here as young people by their parents who might
But they may have aged out of the dreamer
they
category.
May have. And that's why we need to have some kind of regulation for the people that are here in this undocumented status, that we don't want to have a large number of people living as undocumented below the
law. Or maybe they didn't work their way all the way through the university system. You know, it's another qualification you've got to have.
Right, and I think that's a lot of people are concerned, let's not make it so narrow that only a few people qualify. Let's really look at what our problems
the cream of the dream, you know, we can't have that.
Exactly. There are a lot of students who maybe they got discouraged because they thought, if I stay in school, what future do I have? Whereas if they thought, okay, if I stay in school, 10 years from now, I may be able to apply for citizenship and I can qualify for the deferred action work permit in the meantime. That gives them something legitimate to work for and to work under and work towards a full status in the United States.
And even if you weren't in school, I think the memoranda that provides deferred action to these individuals really tries to work with individuals who had a desire to better themselves. So in the deferred action memoranda, even if you did not graduate from high school or pursue a higher education, you can now enroll in a GED program and still qualify if you meet the other requirements. You can also demonstrate that you're in some kind of other educational program or technical school, and you will still qualify for the deferred
action. So they have to engage the system to figure out where they fit in.
Yeah, and basically they're saying you have become you're a productive person in this country. Even if you didn't graduate from high school or pursue higher ed, if you are productive today, if you're in a GED program, if you pursue a technical license, we have individuals who are pursuing other educational opportunities, they perhaps will qualify if they meet the other requirements.
So Sarah Gould at the Institute of Texan Cultures, typically when I think about the Institute, I think about the covered wagon experience and people coming to Texas many, many years ago. But now you're updating it and looking at the modern immigration experience. And as people go through do you see an awakening or people seeing their own experiences through the board game?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the main exhibit floor at ITC is the early arrivals to Texas. And this exhibit focuses on people who have come in the last 25 years or so. And so the countries that you see represented in this exhibit are not the countries you see on our main exhibit floor. You don't see India in our main exhibit floor, but you see India in this exhibit. Same thing with Nigeria and Vietnam. And so I think that this exhibit not only personalizes the immigration experience through that sort of immersion factor that we've designed with the layout of the exhibit, but also it is there to show that there's a new face of Texas. Texas has become increasingly diverse. Texas has always been diverse, but it's even more diverse now. And we have a section in the exhibit where people can record their own family story of how they came to the United States, and we've been getting a response from people that way. So we know that people have been appreciating the opportunity to hear recent immigrant stories and to be able to share their own family's immigration story.
If you want to jump in this conversation, we welcome you. The number is 614-8980. Tell us your immigration story. If you've got a concern about immigration reform, a question, we want to hear from you. 614-8980. Dr. Romo, again, so you're working on a paper about the DREAM Act and you're interviewing dreamers. And what are they telling you?
They're telling us how hard they've been working, how much of a sacrifice their parents made to come to the United States with the hopes that the future might be better for their children or that they might be able to make a better life for their children. And they're telling us how they want to give back to the country, how they feel that they're very much American in every sense of the word except having those legal papers. And their stories are remarkable. The hard work that they put in, many of them excelling at the top of their high school graduating classes, taking the hardest majors, taking honors programs in college, and they want the opportunity to give back in a work position as well as to their community legitimately and stay in this country.
And the dreamer, is that reflected in the board game?
Yes, we actually, one of the people that I interviewed for the exhibit is a dreamer, and she's also a UTSA grad and a very smart young woman. a couple of the people in the exhibit initially came as undocumented immigrants and then later were able to become citizens. But Carolina Canizales, who's the dreamer in our exhibit, she has become very active in promoting information about the DREAM Act and also about deferred action at a national level. And she's doing really wonderful work. And we wanted to include that story in the exhibit. So her story is there.
Okay, well, let's go back to the phones. John's on the line. He has a point he wants to bring up. John, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I've lived in San Antonio for 20 years. And the notion that undocumented people do not use a disproportionate amount of public facilities, or not facilities, but WIC, welfare, food stamps, Bexar County Hospital, that's absolute balderdash. I don't care what studies you come up with. I've lived here for 20 years. Anytime you go to a city office or a county office that serves the indigent or WIC, anything like that, it is absolutely stuffed to the gills with undocumented people. And
okay.
I'll take my comment off the air.
All right, John, thank you for calling. And anyone, Harriet Romo, yes. Response, and we're short on time.
Yeah, John, I think it would be very difficult to go into an agency and immediately know who's undocumented and who is not. I don't know how you're making those judgments. And that's what happens sometimes to people, is they stereotype a certain type of person and they immediately assume that they are not legitimate citizens here, or that they don't have a green card, if they're not
a
refugee.
Yeah, when you go to WIC, it's usually maybe because they have a child who's here, and that child deserves good nutrition, and that child was born here, but it doesn't really service the whole family. But we got to go now. We're out of time. We appreciate all the calls from our callers and comments. Our guest, Sarah Gould from the Institute of Texan Cultures, Marisol Perez, immigration attorney, Harriet Romo from UTSA Mexico Center. This is The Source on KSTX, and we'll be back. Thank you very much. 3 on KSTX.
Friday on Fronteras. Immigration reform could make things easier for undocumented immigrants. But what about people here on high-tech visas?
If I don't find a job, I am possibly looking at going back. I would have to leave.
How an immigration bill could affect immigrant scientists and engineers. That's Friday afternoon at 3 here on KSTX 89.1 FM.
Texas Public Radio's spring membership campaign is right around the corner. If you recently received a membership renewal mailing, please return it with your pledge of support or visit us at tpr.org to donate to your station for news and views. Thank you.
This is KSTX, San Antonio. Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock.